Fanning. Weekends on 2FM.
Most of the time, I want to talk actors now. Most of the time, they're going to happily stand up and promote the work that they've done as much as possible because they put time, effort and sometimes even money into the movie's output. And anyhow, mostly these days they're contractually obliged to do so, usually in some exotic place. Well, London, New York, Japan, that kind of thing. Hindsight, of course, is a great thing. And when a movie doesn't do what it's supposed to do at the box office, actors can then go on to reveal their true feelings on the whole thing. Well, Brian Lloyd of Entertainment.ie, who knows everything about everything, joins me now to tell me about actors who hated some of their most iconic parts. Brian, how you doing? Are you all right?
Not too bad. How are you?
I'm very good indeed. Listen, I'm just thinking of one person just out of the blue here, because I was going to ask the when question, because I think it's probably very important, yeah. The when part. I mean, when does an actor feel safe enough that they can completely diss the movies they were involved with? But I'm just thinking of Shia LaBeouf. Now, I know that he's a rogue and he's out there, but do you remember he did the Indiana Jones movie, the last one? And in the week it came out, he said it's a load of rubbish or something. Not a great time to do it, I would have thought.
No, not at all. And like, to be fair, like, yeah, like Shia LaBeouf, like he's, you know, I don't think he's a good example of this kind of thing that we're talking about,
because, right.
You know, he's just so kind of, he kind of marches to the beat of his own drum.
He does.
Really kind of, yeah, so he's not really a good example. But it's actually funny you say that, because like, I don't know if you've ever had this experience interviewing actors or whatever, but certainly I've had it where I've been in the room talking to an actor and you can tell right away that they're not even being honest with me about the film. Like, as in, like, that they know it's terrible. And in fact, a good sign of how I know it's terrible is they will literally talk about anything else except the film.
Exactly.
Like, it happened to me once, and I won't give the actor's name or the film.
Oh, I will. Like, I've just thought of two. Easily. No problem. One was George Clooney when he did Batman. He was more interested in showing me pictures of his pot-bellied pig than talking about the movie. I mean, he realised it was a turkey and he had no interest in it at all. But he was terribly nice about it. But the other one is your man, what's his name, who's, like, obviously we all know is one of the worst actors ever, and he's in all these action movies. Oh, you have suddenly forgotten his name. Damn. Under Siege and all these movies. What's his name?
Oh, Steven Seagal.
Steven Seagal, I walked down the corridor with him, sat down. It was the weirdest thing, because, like, he really started dissing. I can't even remember what the movie was, but he really, and like, all the people were around, and there was the uncomfortable kind of crossing of legs and harumphing and all this. It was very strange. Very strange. Anyway, so they're my two. Come on, tell me your one. I've told two.
No, go on, I'll give you one then. One was Christoph Waltz, and the film was Alita: Battle Angel. And I went in, and he asked me first, what did I think of Brexit? And I was like, Brexit? Because it was like I think they had just signed like the Article 25. Yeah. Something had happened with it anyway. And he said, what's your opinion as an Irishman about it? And of course, I didn't hold back my opinion. I gave both barrels of it. And, you know, like, we had like a very, like, for, I'd say the first 5 minutes of, or sorry, the first 3 minutes of a 5 minute discussion was talking about how Brexit was, you know, just suicidal for the United Kingdom and so on. And I was doing this in London as well,
but he
was just kept going on about it. And then I tried to steer back to the film, and then we ended up talking about black box experimental theatre. Basically, he would talk about literally anything. Now, I know, like, you know yourself, like, actors, like, it doesn't matter how intelligent or incisive the questions are, chances are they've been asked it 100 times before about this particular film.
Actually, I saw him on TV last night. He was on RTE. He's Inspector. He's the bounty inspector. He only comes into it about, like, 4 hours into the movie. It's hilarious.
Four
I forgot about that.
But yeah, he was talking about he talked about Brexit before he talked about the film. And I wouldn't mind, but he was actually okay in that film, that the one that he was in, Alita: Battle Angel. He wasn't the worst thing about
it. I've never even heard of it.
Yeah, no, it's terrible. It's not good.
Okay, well, listen, just give us, so, like, but there is a when, isn't there? Like, you should give it a year two before you start slagging it.
Definitely. Like, I mean, in some cases, like, you'll find that a lot of actors, like, they kind of try to be, I suppose, professional about it. And, you know, the idea is that, you know, at least I was good in it. At least the actor thinks, well, I did my job in it, kind of thing. But then there are other actors who are like, no, I was terrible in that film. It was all terrible.
Yeah, but the other question, Brian, is the when for the actor themselves, which is like, you know, a week into filming, I have another 16 weeks of this. I can see it's going to be a disaster. How could I possibly have said yes to this?
Well, I mean, they're being paid more money than most people.
Yeah, that's not enough sometimes. But they might have turned something else down.
Well, yeah, I mean, there is that. Like, I mean, there's loads of famous stories of actors turning stuff down that they wished out. Like, I mean, Will Smith, for example, turned down The Matrix, and he went off to do Wild Wild West,
right,
which was, of course, a famous bomb and stuff like that. But he said it out. He knew, like, when he in some cases, like, I think when the actors see the film completed, and then they see the film that they turned down, then they realise, yep, I made the wrong mistake.
Obviously. Okay, that's give us a few stand. Other examples. I mean, a big one is Robert Pattinson, isn't it, as Edward Cullen in Twilight.
Funny, we were talking about interviews and stuff like that. A colleague of mine interviewed him for the last Twilight film. Yeah. And in that last Twilight film, and this is honest to God, there's a scene in it with Irish vampires, and they are dressed like an absolute joke. Like, they're wearing, like, tweed jumpers and tweed hats. And I remember watching that scene in the cinema, in the Cineworld up in Parnell Street, the premiere screening of it. The entire place broke laughing.
Absolutely. I'd love to see that. I've never seen that. That sounds brilliant.
It's awful. But the reason I bring that up is in the interview for that film, my colleague, as soon as he sat down, he goes, "Oh, you're Irish. Did you see that awful scene in the film with the Irish vampires?" He was laughing at
brilliant.
It. Yeah, no, Robert Pattinson, I mean, he famously hates Twilight. He hates Edward, the character that he played, and he hates how everyone actually loves the film. In fact, there's even a blog devoted to the interviews that he's done where he talks about Twilight and just makes fun of it. Like, yeah. And I mean, to be fair, I mean, he even said this himself. Like, this is an actual quote about the character of Edward Cullen. He's the most ridiculous person. The more I read the script, the more I hated this guy. Plus, he's a 108-year-old virgin, so obviously he's got some issues there. And that's very true, I think. Like, I mean, the character of Edward Cullen is terrible. Like, look, I know that young adult fiction is really, really popular and so on and so forth, but, like, you know, you go back and watch those films, like, and they are absolute muck.
Yeah, but hold on a second. Like, the YA, as it's always called, like, it's playing to an audience that's long gone from you and me, with all due respect. You know what I mean? Like, so, you know, maybe, I don't know, like, you know, whatever. Anyway.
But it's funny, like, it's gas because, like, the people, you know, like, Twilight was out in, whatever it was, 2005, 2006 or whatever it was. So the people who watched it at that age are now, were in their 15, 16, 17. Are now in their mid-20s, and they go back and watch Twilight, and they watch it sort of ironically, as in it's so bad it's good kind of thing. So it's, you know, I mean, yeah, you're right. Obviously, we're not the intended audience for YA, but, like, in the case of Twilight, for example, I think the audience who watched it initially are now watching it ironically. So I think
At the beginning of the programme, I mentioned Gwyneth Paltrow as Rosemary in Shallow Hal. That's always been a bit of a controversial movie, to say the least, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, it just has not aged well at all. And to be honest, I remember even seeing that when it first came out, and it was pretty terrible then. But, I mean, Gwyneth Paltrow, I mean, for a woman who kind of seems so sort of detached from reality with her goop and her vagina eggs and whatever it is that she does.
Yeah.
I mean, she is honest enough to say that she actually really does regret starring in. She did an interview with Netflix, and she just called the film a disaster. And she said, like, you know, the first day that she tried on the fat suit, she walked through a hotel lobby and she felt so sad, and it was disturbing, and no one could make eye contact with her, and because the character looked so obese. And, like, you know, like, Shallow Hal, like, I mean, it was a terrible film then. Even now, it's still a terrible film. And in fact, you know, the idea of it is so... not even offensive, just a terrible idea. I'm amazed that anyone involved in it, that nobody, like, the thing that always gets me about films like Shallow Hal and these terrible films is that does nobody realize that they're in this making this terrible film, or are they just doing it just for the paycheck? Like,
yeah, good point. Seems, all right. Like,
do you know what I mean? Like,
do you remember Bob Hoskins in Super Mario Brothers? And he dissed that one.
Oh, God, yeah. And I mean, like, look, Bob Hoskins was one of the greatest English actors of our generation, and he was in the likes of, you know, The Long Good Friday, he was in Brazil, he was in Who Framed Roger Rabbit, you know, brilliant, brilliant actor. But in 1993, like, I mean, when he did Super Mario Brothers, I mean, my God, he just set his career back a few years. And to be fair, I mean, you know, he did this interview a few years after where he was asked about it, and, you know, the question was, what's the worst job you've ever done? And he said it straight up, Super Mario Brothers. And he said, what's been your biggest disappointment? And he said, Super Mario Brothers. And then he was asked, okay, well, if you could go back and change anything, what would you not do? And he goes, I wouldn't do Super Mario Brothers.
Right.
That just tells you everything. I mean, to be fair, like, you know, in watching him in it, you can tell that he knows he's in a terrible film. And he's just like, right, just be a professional, just say the terrible lines, just get through it, and just, you know, just get through it. But... in the case of Caligula.
Hold on, before you get to that, I want to give you a little bit of this. Just this is I'm playing this especially for Bob Hoskins. Are you ready?
Mario.
Last name.
Mario.
Okay, what's your name?
Luigi.
Luigi?
No, Luigi Mario.
Okay, look, how many Marios are there between the two of you?
There's three. There's Mario and Luigi Mario.
Mike! Up these Marios around the side.
Right, that made an awful lot of sense. All right, and by the way, you just mentioned Caligula and Malcolm McDowell, and remember that is kind of Ben-Hur and pornography. I'll give you a blast of that now.
I have existed from the morning of the world, and I shall exist until the last star falls from the night. Although I have taken the form of Caius Caligula, I am all men as I am no man, and therefore I am a god. I shall wait for the unanimous decision of the Senate, Claudius.
All those who say aye, say aye.
Smarty Python. It's completely, it's like nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition. I mean, like, it sounds like Malcolm McDowell there is kind of channeling some kind of Richard Burton and hoping he's going to get away with it. Was it that bad, was it?
Oh, no, it's terrible. Like, I mean, it's absolutely terrible. But, like, what's so interesting about Caligula is the fact that, like, it had a really... Like, you had John Gielgud, you had Peter O'Toole, you had Malcolm McDowell, you had Helen Mirren, you had Teresa Anne Savoy. Like, you had a really good cast, a really strong cast of actors. But, like, it's funny. It's that thing of, like, every single one of them is hamming it up to the absolute hilt. And, I mean... You know, when this film was released in the, I think it was like the late 70s, early 80s, like there was this sort of trend with, you know, porn kind of, the porn industry was becoming a bit more kind of highbrow, you know, that sort of way. Like they were trying to make these kind of art house films. You had stuff like The Story of O, you had like Behind the Green Door, and then Caligula was like the big one of it. And Caligula was basically like, you know, imagine Ben-Hur, but with a couple of scenes of hardcore pornography thrown into the middle of it. And I mean, the guy who was the producer of this was a guy called Bob Guccione, who was the owner of Penthouse Magazine.
Yeah.
And he was a producer in it. And the director that he got was this guy called Tinto Brass, who was this Italian director. And he'd done like a lot of these sort of very kind of, I guess you would call them porn films, but they were very arty porn films in Italy. So the idea was that you could mesh the two together, and if you get a big enough cast, it would throw it all into the mix and it would be something kind of worth watching. It wasn't. I mean, it was absolutely terrible. And Malcolm McDowell said it afterwards that it was just absolutely terrible, thought it was garbage, couldn't believe what he was doing. But he tells this story where he bumped into John Gielgud in New York when the film was on, and, you know, McDowell goes to John Gielgud and goes, God, the film was terrible, wasn't it? He said, it was just, what were we doing? But, you know, at least we got paid. And John Gielgud goes, oh, I thought it was amazing. Oh, I've seen it three times. I thought we were brilliant.
Okay, you see, there you go. Okay, well then Tom Cruise, I don't know what he thought of Rock of Ages, but Alec Baldwin in Rock of Ages, tell me about that.
Hated it, apparently. Alec Baldwin, he gave this interview shortly afterwards where he said, like, you know, he did it because, you know, he loved Tom Cruise and he wanted to work with a director, a guy called Adam Shankman. But, I mean, he called it just a horrible film. And he said, like, you know, a week in, like we were talking about before, like a week in, you go, oh, God, what have I done? And, I mean, to be fair, like, Rock of Ages, like, I remember seeing that at the press screen and just being... It was one of those, again, it was one of those things, it was like, who thought this was going to work? Like, Alec Baldwin's got this big, ridiculous wig on him down to his arse. And, you know, he's walking around the place like he's this 80s roadie. Tom Cruise is playing this sort of Motley Crue hair metal guy. And, like, again, like, it's this thing of, like, completely miscast. Like, Alec Baldwin and Tom Cruise, like, who would honestly imagine them as, you know, blown out rock stars? Like, do you know
what
I mean? All
right, well, here, I'm going to give you a blast. Alec Baldwin, Rock of Ages.
I tell myself that I can't hold out forever.
You're overcoming me, are you, Dennis?
I said there is no reason for my fear.
This is a dream come true.
Cause I feel so secure we're together. You give my life direction. You make everything so
Mother. Mother of God. Okay, Rock of Ages. Okay, let's go for Mark Wahlberg, a difficult man. I mean, a man who's made himself very big in Hollywood and his past keeps coming back up, and rightly so. Not a very good person. But let's talk about The Happening.
No. Absolutely. And one of the worst interviews I ever did actually was with Mark Wahlberg. He is just one of the worst interviews I've ever done. But yeah, old Marky Mark. So the story with Marky Mark was that he was in this film called The Happening, which was directed by M. Night Shyamalan. And if you've ever seen it, I mean, the film is ridiculous. It is basically a film about killer trees. I'm not joking. It's a film about trees that release this little toxin which convinces people to kill themselves. And it's the film is ridiculous. Now, as Wahlberg tells it, he basically signed on for the film because Amy Adams was supposed to star in it. She dropped out and she was replaced by Zooey Deschanel. But he stayed on because, as he calls it, as he said it was, he was like, look, I wasn't being asked to play a cop or a crook like he normally is. He was being asked to play a science teacher. But, I mean, he had all sort of expletives for the film, said it was terrible, said it was a mess, it is what it is. And you watch that film and you can see Mark Wahlberg is in slow motion realising how stupid this film is. So, yeah.
All right, well, listen, let's go Irish. Sorry, not Irish. Matthew Good in Leap Year. Tell me about that.
Yeah. Leap Year. Have you seen Leap Year?
I have. I've seen Leap Year. I didn't see The Happening, though. I've never seen that about the trees. But yeah, I've seen Leap Year, yeah. I always find these movies a bit of that. People get so irate about these kind of things. What was the recent one? The Paddy Wackery one?
Wild Mountain Time.
Yeah, I haven't seen that yet. But I think it's great that people just get so up in arms about it. It's just funny. Anyway,
but
go on.
I mean, do you not think it's good? But I mean, do you not think it's like Paddy Wackery? Like, do you know that kind of way? Like, I mean, it is. Paddy Wackery.
Yeah, all right, okay.
Well, but whatever, anyway.
He was the landlord guy, wasn't he? He was the guy who owned the pub or something. I know, I can't remember.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, Matthew Good. Yeah, and again, Matthew Good is a very, very good actor, like, no pun intended. But yeah, I mean, he described the film as turgid. And, you know, to be fair, he was open about the fact that it was called one of the worst films of 2010. But I mean, he said it himself, like, the main reason the location was the main reason I took it, so that I could come home and add weekends. Do I feel I let myself down? No. Was it a bad job? Yes, it was. But you know, I had a nice time and I got
that's
paid.
One way of getting rid of it. Matthew Good, Leap Year.
Mrs. O'Brady Callahan, where the hell are you going?
You said no.
I didn't say no. I didn't say anything.
You walked away.
I was getting something.
Really? That was a good time to go get something?
Yeah, it was, actually. I was getting this. You big ages. I wouldn't be holding this ring if it weren't for you. I reject your proposal. I don't want to not make plans with you.
Is that you sniggering in the background?
I was going to get this.
I think it's absolutely fantastic. I was completely transported. Okay, that's Matthew Good in Leap Year. Now, tell me about the biggest and most famous one, probably Alec Guinness, and Always Was On. Look what I've done in my life, and I'm famous for one movie, Blinkin' Star Wars. Isn't that what he said? Something along those lines.
Oh yeah, no, completely. Like, I mean, he's been open, very, very open about it. Like, in his autobiography, he said that he shriveled inside each time the film was mentioned. And like, I mean, look, you know, Alec Guinness, before Star Wars, he had this incredible career. He was in all the Ealing comedies, you know, Bridge on the River Kwai, Lawrence of Arabia. Incredible, incredible actor. And then to do something like Star Wars, which you have to remember at the time, like, and when that was
just another movie.
That was just another movie, yeah. And it was a really cheap-looking thing, and it just, there was no faith in it whatsoever. There really, really wasn't. But, you know, Alec Guinness, I mean, fair play to him. Like, it just kind of speaks to his professionalism that, you know, he came in and did it. And, of course, Harrison Ford had the famous saying about the script, about how terrible it was. He said, just because you write these things down doesn't mean that you can say them. But there's a passage in Guinness's autobiography where he talked about how he was in, like, San Francisco, I think it was, or something like that, and this boy came up to him and said that he'd seen Star Wars 100 times. And that he said when he looked into the, this is brilliant, this is a direct quote, looking into the boy's eyes, I thought I detected little star shells of madness beginning to form, and I guessed that one day they would explode.
I think he's right, just, actually. The world went mad over Star Wars, and I'm still scratching my head as well. But anyway, there you go.
Yeah, but there you go. Like, I mean, that's, I mean, to be fair to Alec Guinness, like, I mean, he has been in some incredible films.
Yeah.
Whether he thinks that or not about Star Wars, I mean, whether he likes it or dislikes it, he clearly disliked it.
But he probably,
I mean,
signed a contract and got 50 grand or something, but if you'd got kind of, you know, residuals, whatever you call it, he'd be a trillionaire by now. Anyway, let's take a look at this here, which is Michelle Pfeiffer in Grease 2.
Well, I'm trying, but you're not making it very easy.
I had this idea of Mr. Right, remember? Which is a stupid idea, right?
Right.
And then all, I don't know where he shows up. Like some dream or something.
Who?
Mr. Wright.
All right.
And then the crazy thing is that I've seen him twice now. And both times he's wearing these goggles. I don't even know who he is.
Mr. Wright.
Right. Don't you think that's kind of weird? Not weird weird, but like exciting weird.
So what's the problem then?
Well, the problem is that maybe he's just not everything I imagined.
Is this the one, Brian, where you say, like, there's obviously going to be some, oh, God, I can't believe it, I was so young when I did that, I wish I hadn't done it. It's one of the I was so young ones, is it?
Yeah, that definitely. I think this was like her, it was either like her second or third film, but she was, Michelle Pfeiffer was very, very young in this. And that's exactly what she said. Like, you know, it was a lifetime ago, I don't take any responsibility, I was so young. And, like, to be fair, like, most people don't even know that there was a sequel to Grease. Like, I mean, it was that bad. Most people have kind of wiped it from their memory. So, like, I think she can kind of get away with this one. But, yeah, I mean, by all accounts, Michelle Pfeiffer, she apparently clashed with her co-star and, like I said, was very open about the fact that the film was terrible and denied responsibility for
it. What about a movie that everybody thought was absolutely really good and the guy in question was really good in it, but he absolutely hated it?
Yeah, Burt Reynolds and Boogie Nights. Have you seen Boogie Nights?
Oh, of course, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and it's brilliant. Like, that's it. Like, I mean, you know, Dirk argue about... Dirk Diggler, yeah. I mean, you can argue about Star Wars and say, oh, well, it's not for me or it's not... But, like, Boogie Nights, I think, is one of those films that... It is objectively a brilliant film. Like, it is so well done. Like, and, like, the story of it and everyone's performances, even Marky Mark, you know, who we both dislike, he is good at this. And Burt Reynolds as well.
A movie about the porn industry or porn movies.
About the porn industry, And Burt Reynolds was brilliant in it. And he hated it. He hated the film. Like, he said that he was offered the role 7 times and turned it down each time. He didn't get on with the director, Paul Thomas Anderson. And most likely, Burt Reynolds went to his grave having never seen the film. Like, he... You know, he was interviewed by Conan O'Brien, I think, a few years back, just before he died. And he was saying, like, it's just not my kind of film. I have a difficult time with it. But, like, what I find hilarious is that, like, Burt Reynolds has been in terrible films over the years. He has been in some absolute clunkers.
Well, he was never a character like this in a movie. And maybe it was a stretch too far for him.
Possibly. But, like, you watch him in it, like, and he's completely magnetic. Yeah. Like, he's fantastic in it. So, like, what I don't understand is okay, you had a terrible time making it, but surely you can look back at it and say, well, the work is there. But he thinks it's a bad film.
All right, listen, slightly running out of time, so let's just go to the last one here. Christopher Plummer and The Sound of Music. Again, a famous one, right?
Absolute famous one, yeah. And Christopher Plummer actually had it in his... Had it every time he did an interview, no interviewer was allowed to ask him anything about Sound of Music because he hated it that much. But yeah, by all accounts, like, he hated the film. During the production, he drank and ate heavily and couldn't get over the schmaltziness of it. You know, it's funny because, like, I mean, he... Again, it's that thing of he is great in it, but, like, Christopher Plummer, he was this Shakespearean actor. He had... You know, all these awards to his name and so on and so forth. So to see him doing something as schmaltzy as, I think, Sound of Music was against his own sort of sensibility.
Lucky he was never asked to yodel in it. Okay, listen, Brian, thanks a million for talking to us in the programme today. Brian Lloyd of entertainment.ie. I'll give you a tiny bit of that. Christopher Plummer in The Sound of Music. He hated it.
Do you mean to tell me that my children have been roaming about Salzburg dressed up in nothing but some old drapes?
Mm-hmm. And having a marvellous time.
They have uniforms.
Straitjackets, if you'll forgive me.
I will not forgive you for that.
Children cannot do all the things they're supposed to do if they have to worry about spoiling their precious clothes. Well, they wouldn't dare. They love you too much. They fear you too much.
I don't wish you to discuss my children in this manner.
Well, you've got to hear from someone. You're never home long enough to know them.
I don't want to hear any more from you about my children.
I know you don't, but you've got to. Oh, please, Captain, love them. Love them
all. I don't care to hear anything further from you about my children.
I am not finished yet,
oh,
Captain.
Oh, yes, you are, Captain. Fräulein.
Dave Fanning, weekends on 2FM.